You've developed a comprehensive vision for downtown Memphis among your urban waterfront studies. Have you been asked to pay special attention to Paducah's developing the business environment near its own waterfront?
Actually, my effort in Memphis, I wouldn't call it a comprehensive downtown plan. It was really just focused on the waterfront edge. And it wasn't even really a plan. They'd done so much work already in Memphis, so much planning that hadn't been implemented, in fact, that it was really, I saw the job as an opportunity to look at all the great ideas and figure out which ones could be done quickly and then add a few of my own, which included something they've already implemented, which is turning half of their Riverside Drive into a bike and pedestrian way and narrowing it from a four-lane road to a two-lane road because that was what the traffic volumes suggested was appropriate. In terms of Paducah, it's really it's a first visit, and it's an opportunity to see what the low-hanging fruit are. My focus is on, not just planning in a larger sense, but specifically on walkability and on making the downtown area as walkable and as bikeable as possible. And there's a 100 different factors that all contribute to whether a downtown does welcome pedestrians and cyclists. And usually when I arrive at a place for the first time, it's fairly easy to get a sense as to what the quick fixes are, the inexpensive fixes, and the way to make the most bang with the least buck.
So you'll be having two speaking engagements in Paducah, one at 7:30 in the morning and the other later in the evening. You'll be walking the streets of Paducah in between those two times?
Absolutely. And what I like to do whenever I go to a place, but what I've actually scheduled a little more time to do in Paducah than usual is to incorporate into my second talk a lot of local examples, a lot of details. So I'll be taking pictures as I walk around, and I will actually hope to have some very specific recommendations at the second talk. The first talk is really a lecture that's a longer and more elaborate version of my very popular TED talk that I call Why Walkability, but it's why do our cities need to be so walkable? And I think we've got like 770,000 views now of that talk, which you can see at TED.com. But if you're going to come to the talk, don't bother, because I'll give a longer and better version of that. The second talk, though, is going to be about the details of how actually to achieve walkability in cities and specifically in Paducah.
Tick off the high points of that TED talk briefly. It is about 15 minutes long. So,
the big evolution for me as a planner was to realize after arguing for walkability for so many years as a planner and seeing it receive some interest but not a tremendous amount, was to then recognize that in the past 15 years, three different groups that people really do listen to, more than planners, the economists, the epidemiologists, and the environmentalists, have all been arguing very adamantly for more walkable cities on their own terms and to much larger audiences. And so what I begin my book, Walkable City, with, and what I focus on in the first talk that I like to give in most communities that I visit, is these reasons, these economic reasons, these health reasons, and these environmental reasons why it actually is extremely short-sighted of cities to not very quickly and enthusiastically embrace walking and biking in their downtowns in particular.
Now, you live and work in Washington, D.C.?
Correct. Washington, D.C. is one of a handful of, say what you will about the federal government, Washington, D.C. is one of a handful of cities that's been ahead of the curve for quite some time on making itself more walkable and bikeable. We have fantastic transit, great walkable streets, really state-of-the-art bike lanes that have come in and with more going in. The nation's first large bike share program, car share, car to go, a lot of really interesting things have either been pioneered in D.C. or were taken up very quickly in D.C. But the typical American city isn't like D.C. and isn't like New York or San Francisco or Chicago, where this has been happening for some time. And the basis of my practice is to take these best practices that have shown to make real change in other cities and to share them with cities that don't necessarily have the resources to come to them on their own.
Talk about a couple of small cities which have become transformed with these ideas.
Well, some are smaller and some are bigger, but just haven't had a focus on planning in many years. So cities that I've worked in, like Memphis and Oklahoma City, they're not that small, but they are kind of new to reorienting planning around anything but the automobile. My typical clients see, though, is a place like Grand Rapids or Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Mm-hmm. Cedar Rapids is probably a good example. You know, they don't have much money to spend, but they recognize that their downtown grid, you know, the heart of their downtown, which is probably only about 30 blocks, is designed in a way that welcomes high speeds from cars, that kind of scares pedestrians and cyclists away. Mm-hmm. It's a network of almost entirely four-lane streets, which have the traffic counts of a two-lane city. So you've got a lot more asphalt than you have cars, and that's inducing speeding. And also there's opportunities in, you know, right-sizing the number of lanes around the actual traffic that's occurring. There's opportunity then to put in additional parallel parking, which really helps stores, or angle parking, which helps them even more, or bike lanes. And so Cedar Rapids is a very typical type of project for me, where, you know, they're going to be repaving and restriping their streets over the next 5-10 years anyway. And the question is, what model can they do it to that, as it happens, will create a much more walkable, bikeable downtown? So we're turning an essentially four-lane and half one-way downtown into an essentially two-lane and all two-way downtown, and doubling the biking infrastructure, adding 70% more on-street parking, and just making it a place that is more likely to be supportive of businesses and walking and biking, just with paint and signals. And by the way, when you change four-lane streets into two-lane streets, you can actually get rid of a lot of signals and replace them with four-way stop signs. And when you replace signals with four-way stop signs, everybody's safer. And actually, cars can often get through the downtown quicker because they're never waiting at a light.
With whom will you be working in Paducah?
I will be working for the City Planning Department. I'm already aware of Paducah because I used to be the design director at the National Endowment for the Arts, and we heard a lot about your artist-in-residence program that was making national news as a really exciting way to rejuvenate a city by welcoming artists to it. And I'd like to learn a little bit more about that when I'm on the ground.
You sound like you love what you do.
Oh, absolutely. It's funny, though, because I spent 7 years of postgraduate education studying architecture, and now mostly I just count lanes and streets. But I think it's the most important thing I can do.
Well, listen, safe travels. Everyone's looking forward to your visit here.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to it as well.